Hello and welcome to the Harvard EdCast, a series of conversations with thought leaders in the field of education from across the country and around the world. I'm Iman Rastegari, sitting in for Matt Weber, and today I'm talking with Mabel Chan, a media entrepreneur, former TV journalist, and founder of media startup China Personified. Mabel, welcome to the Harvard EdCast.
Thank you for having me, Iman.
So I wanted to start by talking about the podcast that you work on, which is called One in a Billion. And it captures stories of invisibility, particularly about Chinese millennials living in America. Could you tell us a little bit about the podcast and what compelled you to launch it?
Yeah, so One in a Billion is really a show about China. And we try to understand China through personal voices of Chinese millennials living in America. It was launched just last July, and the idea was to give voice to Chinese who are here pursuing their dreams, and they come from China. They also are those who have spent a long time living in America, and pretty soon we will also branch out to include those born here. And so the idea is really to look at what motivates young people coming in from China to pursue their dream in America, and what are they moved by? It's a way to understand motivation, and that to see what gives meaning to how they see their life and their work, and to understand that as a way to understand aspects of Chinese dreams, aspects of Chinese society and values that may be behind their motivation. And when you ask me what propels me to do something like that, it's a bit of a long story, but I will make it short. The podcast itself was something that came about last year. I realized that podcast is a really growing industry. And it's also a medium that forces you to press your ear to listen, to understand what people are saying and what and why they're saying it. And it's such an intimate medium. And I think that would be a great medium, a safe space for young people who may be afraid to share their stories, but they will now because it is only about their voice. And I look for voices that are strong and also very compelling to describe their drive and their dream. And so I thought I would give it a try. And it's still pretty new, and so we're experimenting with different formats. So far, the format is one-on-one, but we are also going to be opening it up and inviting listeners and bloggers who have been submitting blogs on our site to narrate their own blogs and let us hear their voices behind those words they shared.
That's really cool. And as a meta note, the fact that you're on a podcast talking about a podcast, we totally agree that podcasting is a really great medium to share stories.
Yeah, I'm sure you get it.
So how do you view storytelling as an opportunity to educate?
Well, first of all, storytelling is the most powerful vehicle that anyone can use. It is not unique to anyone who needs a particular access or privilege. It is really universally helpful to anyone with any background, as long as you are aware that your story is, your life is a story. And I think that most people don't think of their own lives as a story. But once they do, and they start to reflect on the reasons for their action and reaction, it is extremely educational. What more educational than listening to your own voice, describing how you look at the world and what makes you decide to choose one over the other, or what makes you decide to not do anything? So I wanted to use that sort of narrative of describing one's choices as a way to help one understand oneself. And at any stage of our lives, we change all the time. And I want people to know that we are able to change our own stories because we're always changing ourselves. Our world is changing, and we're evolving with it. And so we don't have to stick with one version. That version of story may be true at the particular stage in your life, but we all can change it and can shift it according to different priorities and different values. So I want that storytelling to be a tool that people feel is empowering because they can look inside and they can reflect on it, but they also feel as if they can change it, they can rename it, they can reform it. And that gives them a sense of power.
Speaking of putting storytelling into practice, you're coming to Harvard for an event called Why Not Me? And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that event and what Why Not Me means.
Okay, well, this is interesting. Yes, it's so timely. It's happening in a few hours. Why Not Me is really a title that we collectively decided on. I was approached by the Graduate School of Education, Tracy, with the Office of Student Affairs, and a few others who are helping organize the event, including the Pan-Asian Coalition in Education. They came to me asking me to host a live storytelling event, and I did not hesitate because I'm such a strong believer in storytelling. Their goal is for all of us to sort of open up and share stories that we keep inside. Stories that we feel make us feel bad or sad or mad, and yet we keep it inside because we see something that is wrong, that we feel maybe our experiences are making us feel that we're enough, or that our experiences are making us feel we are not up to standard, or that they may keep us in a box. And so we're trying to take all these experiences head on and give students a safe space to share those stories. And Why Not Me resonates. You know, they feel like at this stage in their lives, they want to show, yes, I can, and of course I can do it. But of course, the real world doesn't always see it. And so that is a conflict and a little tension that we don't address very much at Harvard. We teach very positive messages, of course, and that's very important. But there's no safe space where we can talk about when we're not included, when we're sort of viewed through stereotypical prism. And so we want to come together, and we want to open up and have people share stories.
Wow, that sounds like it's going to be a really powerful event. Who...
I hope so. I look forward to it.
Us too. Who are you hoping will come, and what do you hope they'll get out of the experience of attending?
Right. Well, the event is really open to the entire university. However, I do understand that the focus is on international students, in particular those from Asia. So those who self-identify as Asian or Pan-Asian are given the sort of limelight, but it's really going to be those who have signed up as storytellers that they will have the first stab at it, and then those in the audience, they may also get a chance. You know, we want us to be spontaneous as well as somewhat prepared for those who want to think about their stories before coming on. So we want us to be connective and inclusive. So we'll see how it turns out.
That's awesome. What advice do you have for those who might want to integrate the power of storytelling into their educational practice?
This is an interesting question, and I think about that all the time. I am in the 02139 area code right now, and I used to live in New York. So I am switching my mindset about the goals of storytelling. And I am also learning myself, you know, what matters to students and what matters to educators when they try to convey the power of storytelling. I think that the most important thing is that we don't ignore the voices in our own head. We don't feel that they're not valid, and that we at any point give it space and outlets. It could be as simple and easy as journaling. I think that journal may be a good idea for educators to start thinking about as a tool to help document students' feelings and also understanding some of the themes that arise from those stories. I think that is a very powerful and simple, but overlooked. I mean, I don't know about you, Iman, but I started journaling when I was very young, and I think it is time to bring that back. Helping oneself write it out as well as voice it.
Well, there's a lot of great advice there, and we're really looking forward to the event here at HGSC. Mabel, thank you so much for joining us for the Harvard EdCast.
You're welcome, Iman.